Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hi, folks. You're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 282, recorded live on the YDF Media Network on May the 2nd, 2024. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hi, Kev.
Hey, Pete. How's it going, my friend?
I'm doing well. You?
Fantastic. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day. We want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
All right. We've got some news today. We got a great e-ticket attraction. We are ready to go with another 282nd episode of Two Men and the Mouse.
Wow, nice.
I do want to say real quick, thank you to our patrons. I am pausing Patreon billing from May 2nd to June 2nd, just because the month of May is going to be extremely, extremely busy for me. And I can't, like, so, I mean, I'm not, that's not saying there's not going to be any, like, Patreon content coming out. But, I mean, there's going to be less, and I don't feel right charging people for that. So, you know, basically, it's like, whatever comes out this month is going to be, you know, free.
Right, I get that.
Yeah, from May 2nd to June 2nd. So, yeah, so, you know, just wanted to be fair with that. So, you ready to hop into the news this week?
That's it.
The news brought to you by friends over at Away With Me Travel, who will plan your next Disney vacation at no additional cost to you. All right, we have new cast member costumes debuting in Walt Disney World as part of the worldwide news here. They debuted in the Magic Kingdom. They are lightweight and eco-friendly, apparently. So these are Main Street USA at Magic Kingdom cast members are now wearing the new costumes that were revealed last month. They are the ones working at the main entrance tap styles, because we don't call them turnstiles anymore. The Main Street USA Parade Control and the Dapper Dans, all sporting new looks. The Disney says they keep function and comfort at the forefront of mind with lightweight, breathable fabric. They're also made from recyclable materials that help keep the environment in mind. So there you go. New costumes.
What did you think of them?
I mean, they're like ugly, but
I kind of like them.
I don't like the pastel colors. I was like, was this like Easter? I don't know. Like, or is it the Caribbean? It was just like, I don't know. I wish
I
they would have like gone with
recognizable.
Yeah, I mean, I guess making them bright is a choice to like get people to be able to notice the cast members more, like if they need something.
Right.
The resort news: the Yacht Club over by Epcot is getting a 6-month refurbishment.
Whoa.
Big refurbishment going on. So Disney has announced that the Yacht Club Resort will begin a guest room refurbishment program in early 2025. The work begins in January and will last through May 2025. Disney notes that while guests may see or hear construction work during daytime hours, most resort hotel amenities will remain available. As part of the refurbishment program, Stormalong Bay at Disney's Yacht and Beach Club Resort in Walt Disney World will also be closed for a 6-month period in 2025. This means that the pool area, including the water slide, lazy river, whirlpool, spas, kiddie pools, and tanning deck, will not be accessible during that time. That's a lot of things to take
away.
That's
a deal breaker.
Yeah. Disney says that the closure will last through June 2025 and is advising guests that they will continue to be able to use the Tidal, Admiral, and Dune Cove leisure pools, a.k.a. the quiet pools, which will not be nearly as quiet during this time period, apparently.
Nope, and definitely not the same.
No, certainly not. I mean, I would just advise you not to stay at the Yacht and Beach, like, because I doubt that the rooms are going to cost any less, even without the, you know, they used to do a thing where they would give you like free water park access for,
for
something like that. I don't know if they still do that, but I know they do it now for like your first day.
I know somebody who just booked yacht for August. And it was right up there that they're doing the refurb for 2025. So even I was thinking like, man, I would never, if there's no pool, and I'm not a crazy pool guy, but it's one of the biggest features of staying there. So
it's the draw of staying at the beach club. It's, you know, like the Yacht and Beach Club. It's the pool and the ability to walk to Epcot. Those are, I think, the two big draws there. But you can walk to Epcot from the boardwalk also. So
I will say we stayed at Beach Club during a refurb one time, and I know I've told you so many times, they would shut the water off every day for like long stretches of time.
That's so weird.
And it was really like they originally said it was just going to be like one day or 2 days. It ended up being the whole trip. And I mean, like, you could not go back to your room and like take a shower. And
that's
I was like, this
insane.
Is like a problem.
That's insane. Yeah. And for all the money that you're spending, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All right. So there's also going to be a refurbishment of Bay Lake Tower starting this September. Disney advises guests will see and hear construction work throughout Bay Lake Tower to allow extra time for travel as alternate paths may be utilized. The work is planned to take place from September 2024 to September 2025. Bay Lake Tower at Disney's Contemporary Resort opened on August 4th, 2009 and offers modern deluxe accommodations and amenities along with views of the Magic Kingdom. So no word here on what those amenities are. I would assume that it's going to be the rooms probably, like they're doing the room refurbishment, but this is a year-long right. refurbishment. The two major deluxe resorts. That's a lot.
Yep.
In Disney Springs news, we have a new covered patio area coming to Chicken Guy at Disney Springs. One of my favorite places.
Okay.
Chicken Guy. Love Chicken
Listen, Guy. I love the word covered in Disney. So.
Yeah. Construction walls are up at Chicken Guy in the town center of Disney Springs to begin work on a new covered patio. The new shade structure will cover the existing outdoor patio, which will be completed just in time for the upcoming hot summer season. Chicken Guy is hugely popular for Disney Springs guests. It offers good quality quick service food at a value price point. The restaurant is a collaboration between celebrity chef Guy Fieri and restaurateur Robert Earl, who also owns Planet Hollywood. The latest improvement is not the first update to Chicken Guy. 2 years after its 2018 opening, work began on expanding the restaurant with more than twice the amount of indoor seating. The ground level Planet Hollywood store was closed, allowing Chicken Guy to expand into the adjacent space. I have never eaten inside a Chicken Guy. I always go outside, which a covered area sounds great because eating outside a Chicken Guy, it's the big glare with the sun and all that
right.
stuff. So,
right. But you say the food's great, right? I mean, I haven't had
it. Oh, I love it. I love Chicken Guy. Let me put it this way. My youngest brother, when he was here, my brother, Rob, he loved chicken. I brought him and his then girlfriend, now wife to, Chicken Guy. At Disney Springs, and we ate there, and he loved it so much that he literally checks still years later, like every month, to see if Chicken Guy is opening a location in New Jersey.
Wow.
He
wow. What is the Kevin go to at Chicken Guy?
Usually the sauce boss sandwich. I like that one. It's got two different sauces okay. on it. Or I'll just get like an order of like tenders. With a couple of different sauces, because the sauces are really like the main drawing point.
I was just going to ask, are the sauces the thing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The donkey sauce. I like the garlic parmesan sauce. There, you get a whole menu of just the sauces when you get there. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. And the sauces are really incredible. Yeah. And sometimes if I'm like trying to be healthy, I'll get the grilled tenders and then douse them grilled in sauce. Up. So, you know. but yeah, Chicken Guy. So there's a Chicken Guy like right near me, actually, in it's in Winter Park. So there's two Chicken Guys within driving distance. So I like to remind my brother of that all the time. Like, hey, just so you know, while you're waiting for your first Chicken Guy, I got two that I could choose from over here. But yeah, Chicken Guy, like I really hope that it expands to more areas because it is very good. And it is the cheapest thing you can get at Disney Springs, like for a full wow. meal. It's really good. The fries are good. You know, it's got a soda fountain, so I love it. Okay, nothing for Magic Kingdom, Epcot, or Hollywood or Animal Kingdom, but we do have some Hollywood Studios news. Disney has announced details of the reopening for Rockin' Roller Coaster, starring Aerosmith, I guess, currently still. Disney has provided a brief update on the reopening. The official website has updated the notice from please check back here for updates to this attraction is planned to reopen in summer 2024. According to the operating calendar, the ride remains closed as far out as the schedule goes, which is currently June 30th, 2024. The Aerosmith-themed roller coaster began closure on January 8th of 2024. Disney has also confirmed that the closure is a routine refurbishment and no changes will be made to the theme. A permit has been filed for the Rock and Roller Coaster project with Adena Corporation. Adena has worked on several Disney projects, including Tron Light Cycle Run and recent work on the Epcot redevelopment. Adena was also the contractor on Rock and Roller Coaster's 3-month-long refurbishment in the first half of 2023. The ride has been experiencing extended downtimes in recent years, and this refurbishment likely addresses some of those issues and continues the progress made in 2023. So, Aerosmith sticking around.
Yeah, listen, I have a friend of a friend who works at Disney World and swears that it is going to change and be Queen, and I can't ever see it happening.
Queen, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You can't exactly like have them like film the like pre-show.
Probably not. I also think like, why would you change from one like older rock band to another older rock band? Like, I'm pretty sure it's just going to stay the same.
You know what rock band never gets any older? The Electric Mayhem.
You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Would love that.
If that would begin the Electric Mayhem's Rock and Roller Coaster, I'd actually ride it.
I'm telling you, if that became Muppets, I would literally think about and then not ride that thing. But I would go in the store.
Speaking of the Muppets were on hand yesterday to celebrate 35 years of Disney's Hollywood Studios. It's the 35th anniversary, which is apparently a thing that we celebrate now.
Yeah.
I thought it was like 25 and then like 50, or maybe like even celebrate 30 and 40. But like, no, we're 35. Like, that's...
And you can do a whole year long, which is actually 18 months celebration. So.
Yep. Disney's Hollywood Studios marked its 35th anniversary yesterday with a celebration moment in the Theater of the Stars and a special anniversary merchandise event. Miss Piggy and Kermit opened the show and were joined by Vice President Jackie Swisher, the Disney ambassadors, opening day cast members, and a host of Disney characters on stage to recognize the moment. A lot of pictures here. It was obviously... the actual Kermit and Piggy puppets were there, so that's pretty cool. I'm sure Kermit didn't sound like Kermit. I hate that.
Probably
Kermit.
Not.
I can't stand that Kermit voice. At Stage One Company Store on Grand Avenue, guests also had the unique opportunity to purchase limited edition 35th anniversary apparel, collectibles, and pins specially designed to commemorate the milestone. From its inception on May 1st, 1989, as Disney's MGM Studios, the iconic park has entertained millions in the glitz and glamour of the golden age of cinema and beyond. Launched initially as both a theme park and active production studio, Disney's Hollywood Studios was a bold venture into the world of movies, television, animation, and entertainment. And now it is a salute to all cinema, but mostly Star Wars. We got some outside Walt Disney World news, a.k.a. Universal news. Oh, Universal, hot on Disney's heels, is unveiling a drone show.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, now this speaks to me.
Yeah. Today, Universal Orlando announced that the waters of the Universal Studios Florida Lagoon will come to life with an all-new nighttime show, Cinesational. Oh, God. Universal is so bad at naming things. So bad at naming things. Cinesational, a symphonic spectacular. Say that with a lisp. Second grade me would not be able to do that. The new show will celebrate the emotional power of music by leveraging the iconic scores and scenes from blockbuster films that have inspired Universal Orlando's past, present, and future attractions, including Warner Bros. Pictures' Harry Potter and the Fantastic Beasts films, Jurassic World, Jaws, Shrek, Ghostbusters, Trolls, Back to the Future, Universal Monsters, Transformers, How to Train Your Dragon, E.T. Fast and the Furious, the Super Mario Bros. Movie, Minions, The Mummy, and King Kong. Cinesational, a symphonic spectacular, will feature 228 fountains that reach heights of up to 131 feet, 4K projection mapping, an original composition featuring newly arranged scores, and more than 600 drones. Disney will be launching its own drone show on May 24th, although we don't yet know the number of drones involved. That will be Disney Dreams That Soar, showcasing Disney stories, celebrating the joy of flight with state-of-the-art drones choreographed to create designs in the sky, paired with a soaring musical score and memorable movie quotes. Disney Dreams That Soar will run nightly from May 24th to September 2nd, 2024, and that will be in Disney Springs. So I think technically... Universal may have kind of beaten Disney to the punch with this one, because it is, you know, Disney is once again doing something in Disney Springs with drones, whereas Universal is now doing a drone show in the parks.
Right.
As much as the drone show is going to be great in Disney Springs, I don't think people are going to really go out of their way to go to Disney Springs for it. And it's only a limited time thing.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, because they clearly don't do this in-house, right? Like, they're getting companies to set up these shows.
Probably.
Do you think that, like, Universal goes to this company and is like, hey, listen, we need something, like a drone show, and it's got to be better than whatever Disney's planning? Because all these companies must know each other. And they
of course
know
they do.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
I would love, I just in my head, I would love it if that happened.
I would like a drone in the shape of the DeLorean to fly overhead.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool.
But like with, by using force perspective with a smaller drone, you can make like the perception that the DeLorean is flying high up in the air.
You know, honestly, one of the things I did really want in Galaxy's Edge, especially at nighttime, was to see ships flying over.
Me too.
And I feel like there's got to be a way they could do it.
I thought for sure they were going to do it. But nope.
I don't know. Thought it would be cool.
Nope. Instead, you get Rey.
Well, I mean, I wanted that
but
off,
she's not. Though. But she's not going to take a picture with your kids. Instead, you can fight people to see the Mandalorian.
Right. Let me tell you, I honestly, after going to Disneyland and seeing like Chopper, I'm done with that.
Mm-hmm.
I am just done with that setup. I've grown more infuriated with, like, you know, just the craziness of it.
You can eat the elbow of a Long Island mother as you she tries to shove past you to get toward baby Grogu. Man.
Like, I just don't understand. Why not have both?
Yeah.
I'm fine if you want to have Mando and Grogu walking around Galaxy's Edge. I'm cool with it. But why not also have a meet and greet?
You know, it's not like we don't, it's not like we have some kind of Star Wars static meet and greet location on the other side of the park that could easily be swapped out to be the Mandalorian and Grogu from Chewbacca, who nobody cares about right now.
I don't get it. I do not get it.
It's, you know, it is what
it
is.
Was Ahsoka ever in world?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Like, again, like, here you have Ahsoka. Like, this is a property we are selling for multiple years now. We're going forward with this. Why?
Because the story. We need the story. That's what everyone's here for. They're not here because they want a theme park experience. They're here because, Peter Mandel, they want to be in Star Wars.
But then why have Mando walking around?
Because he's in Star Wars.
In the wrong time. But I'm fine with the time. I'm cool with the time to listen.
Not only do people want to be in Star Wars.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, not only do people want to be in Star Wars. They want to be in Star Wars during the most exciting period in Star Wars history, the time between The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker. They don't want to see Luke Skywalker. They don't want to see Han Solo. They want to see Rey and this blue-haired lady who is apparently some kind of spy.
Love by Moravi. Yeah, no, listen, don't get me started on that. I do think, though, that they need to figure out the character meet and greet.
It's beyond simple for Mando. The Mandalorian is putting together a bounty hunting crew to go after like a very specific, really rough bounty, and you're coming in to like interview with him for the crew. That's it. Right. That works in the story. Boom. Or just take Chewie out of the launch bay and put Mando in.
There you go.
Like, I'm sorry. I know I love Chewbacca too, but nobody is like lining up around the corner to take a picture with Chewbacca. They're not. Not anymore. You know?
What's really weird is, you know, like I can remember like getting pictures with Boba Fett and like all these different characters.
Yeah.
And now it just seems like, well, this is what we have. It almost seems like Universal in a way, right? Like how Marvel Superhero Island can't change.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like, listen, this is the characters you got. This is never going to change now. Like, I don't get
it. It's really weird. I don't get it. You know, like, and the launch bay should constantly be new things. The launch bay, you should have Luke Skywalker in there. You should have, you know, but you know, again, we don't want to talk about Luke Skywalker. We don't want to talk about Han Solo. We got to focus on this time period and this story. And you have to be in the story.
Is that Jedi Training Academy stage still out there?
Yes.
I mean, what, can't we use that space?
Oh my God, you're totally right. Throw Mando on there.
Just use it for something like character driven. It just seemed maybe you put Chewbacca. How about this? You put Chewbacca out there.
And you put Mando in the launch bay.
Darth Vader out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and you put Mando in the launch bay.
You put Mando in the launch bay, where I get that you can have the line be a little bit longer.
Yeah, in the air conditioning. Great idea. Fantastic idea.
Nothing will happen from that.
Never. Or just bring the Jedi training back, because you know people liked that.
I know. I gotta be honest with you. I mean, Ethan did it so many times. I do feel bad for people who have kids now and probably see it on, you know, websites, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I'd love to do this for my kid.
This is one of those things where I'm like, why wouldn't you bring this back?
Man, I don't get that either.
It was a thing everybody loved. I don't know.
Celebrating 35 years. Can we bring some of the stuff back?
Right. In further Universal news, Universal has shared a big look at Super Nintendo World coming to Epic Universe next year.
Okay,
and so this is more than just the Super Nintendo World that you experienced in California. It's bigger.
Oh, yeah. It better be.
Oh, it sure is. There's a whole other land to it. It's two different areas. So Universal has revealed official details about Super Nintendo World and Epic Universe, which will feature attractions, dining, shopping, and interactive experiences inspired by the Super Mario franchise and, for the first time in the United States, Donkey Kong Country.
Okay.
Developed in partnership between Universal Creative and Nintendo, the land combines iconic Nintendo characters with Universal's theme park experiences to deliver a multi-sensory environment where guests can experience the fun and adventure of Nintendo games in a whole new way. Super Nintendo World will debut at Universal Orlando Resort in 2025 as one of five worlds in an all-new Epic Universe theme park, which will open in Orlando. It all begins when you enter through the portal to Super Nintendo World, the iconic green pipe, which transports you into the immersive land. As guests emerge from the pipe, vibrant scenery and exciting kinetic energy surround them as they're greeted by the familiar sights and sounds that they've experienced on Nintendo game consoles, from the towering Mount Beanpole to majestic Peach's castle, to swaying piranha plants, pacing Goombas, spinning coins, blocks, and more. Inside Super Nintendo World, guests will be able to explore Super Mario Land, where they'll enjoy adventures alongside Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, and other characters. And then you'll have Donkey Kong Country, where you'll encounter thrills featuring Donkey Kong, Diddy Kong, and other members of the Kong family. I better be able to see Cranky Kong in there.
That'd be great.
Yeah. In Super Mario Land, the colorful landscapes of the Mushroom Kingdom come to life, and guests can experience Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge. Guests are invited to join Team Mario and battle Team Bowser for the Golden Cup in this groundbreaking attraction that fuses augmented reality, projection mapping technology, and elaborate environments to bring the fun of the Mario Kart video game series to life in a ride-through experience. Now, did you do this at Hollywood?
We did the one ride.
That's the Mario Kart ride.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's going to be kind of exactly the same.
I'm sure it will be. Everyone that I talk to about this is like, eh. Like, nobody seems to like it.
I'll tell you how it is. We paid to get in early, because I will say it is a madhouse. Like, after 9 o'clock there, you gotta wait like forever. We walked right in. I think I actually told you there's two lines. Like, it's like a stairwell separate. Man, I hate all these like stairways, like in these rides. It's so funny. Separated, you know, by like a rail in the middle. And the cast members, like, oh, you can go down both sides. No one's going down both sides. Everyone's just in one side. It's all the way back up, flights of stairs. So I'm like, cool, I'm just going to go over here. So I walked over there. My daughter's like, no, we can't go over there. I'm like, they just said you can go both sides. I walked all the way down the stairs. No one in the entire section. Just walked by everybody, got right onto a ride vehicle, rode the ride. We got off the ride. I'm like, should we ride it again? Because there's like no wait. And no one really wanted to ride it again. You know what I mean?
Was it bad? Like,
It's okay. You ride, so you have a helmet. You're wearing like a device on your head.
Yeah, like an augmented reality glasses.
Yes, and that's exactly what it is, right? So it's like AR, like, you know, in your visor, and you're like shooting things. It's okay.
You're like shooting shells and stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So
well, you don't have like an unlimited supply, so you got to kind of like.
How was the queue like going through Bowser's Castle? Was that cool?
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah, guests up for the challenge will enter through Bowser's Castle, where they'll wind its corridors and get a glimpse of Bowser's deceptive plans to stack the odds in his favor before boarding their cart and heading to the starting line. Then guests steer through a variety of Mario Kart courses, collecting coins, tossing shells at Team Bowser, dodging obstacles, and more as they join their favorite characters and compete to help Team Mario win the race. Now, you can steer, but like, you're not actually controlling anything, right?
No.
Okay.
No, you're not.
But now when you shoot, like, are you able to see like what everyone else in your car is shooting at, or yes. is it just an experience for you?
No, you can see everybody.
Okay. Also, Yoshi's Adventure. Did they have this in California?
It did not.
Okay. So Yoshi's Adventure Attraction will make its U.S. debut. Okay, yeah, make its U.S. debut when Super Nintendo World opens at Universal Epic Universe. On this family-friendly ride, guests of all ages will enjoy breathtaking views of Super Mario Land as they join Yoshi and travel through Mushroom Kingdom landscapes in search of glowing eggs, encountering many familiar characters throughout the way. This looked like a really cute ride. Like, the ride vehicle is a Yoshi.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
It looked really cool. The Toadstool Cafe. Did you eat at the Toadstool Cafe?
No, so the Toadstool Cafe, you actually need a reservation to get in.
Oh, okay.
I actually chose not to get one just because it's so much mushroom. No one in my family really even eats mushrooms other than myself.
I looked at the food there, and it didn't look like it was a lot of mushrooms.
Everything there's like has a lot of mushroom. Ironic, right?
Okay. Yeah, I saw a lot of like the rice in the shape of the superstar and you know, mushroom shaped things. I didn't see a lot of mushroom stuff though.
Keep in mind too, I was also there first thing in the morning.
True. At Toadstool Cafe,
like before 8 o'clock. So
at Toadstool Cafe, guests can enjoy a variety of tasty dishes inspired by the world of Super Mario and its characters, including Mario and Luigi themed burgers, super mushroom soup, piranha plant caprese, fireflower spaghetti and meatballs, and so much more. Guests will also get glimpses of several toads cooking up culinary creations throughout various virtual windows as they dine inside the restaurant. The place looks really cool. I liked what I saw of it on YouTube. There's also Yoshi's Snack Island and Turbo Boost treats. Guests can also pick up treats, snacks, and beverages at these walk-up dining locations. The One-Up Factory and Mario Motors, which are souvenir shops for apparel, toys, and more inspired by favorite Super Mario characters and adventures within these retail locations, and meet and greets. Guests will be able to meet and greet with Mario, Luigi, Princess Peach, and Toad through various areas in Super Mario Land. So that's pretty fun.
I was able to meet Mario and Luigi.
That's what, do they talk? Do they do like the woohoo?
Yes, but they don't talk to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I will say they are blinking characters.
Okay.
Cool, unless you're taking pictures. Like, I don't want to take pictures of characters, and it came out bad because they were blinking.
Right. Did you meet Mario?
You know what I mean?
And, yeah, did you meet Mario and then Luigi, or did you meet Mario and Luigi?
No, they were together.
Oh, that's cool.
Together.
I like that. Yeah. I do like that.
And I really wanted to meet Peach, but Peach wasn't coming out till like 3 in the afternoon or something.
Oh, so okay. Like, all right. Oh, and did you do the power-up bands?
No.
So the power-up bands are these wristbands that'll let you like basically like play like kind of like almost like what you can do in Galaxy's Edge, only I think people actually do it because I've never seen anybody playing like the Galaxy's Edge like bounty hunter games and stuff like that.
Which might actually be for the better, because I got to tell you, one of the things that would bother me if I did the power-up band, aside from the $40 it costs, is like you need to go to different areas in the land and do these things, but everyone's doing them. So you now have to get on a line and watch the 20 people in front of you do it first.
Right.
Like, it's not organic.
It's like casting the spells at Wizarding World of Harry Potter with the interactive wands. Like, the person in front of you has already done it. You've seen it.
Yeah. I guess it depends on when you go, right? I mean, like, when we did Hogwarts, you know, in October, like, there was no one even doing that stuff. You could have had, like, you know, like a whole new adventure. But in Super Nintendo, it's packed.
Now, Donkey Kong Country. At the edge of Super Mario Land, guests will discover an entrance that leads them to Donkey Kong Country, where they'll explore lush tropical landscapes from the video game series, complete with tall trees, waterfalls, landmarks such as the Golden Temple, and more. Here, guests can enjoy the following. Minecart Madness. Guests will hop onto a minecart and careen through the jungle to help Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong protect the coveted golden banana on the first-of-its-kind family coaster. Utilizing an unprecedented ride system, innovative technology, and a unique coaster design, Minecart Madness will send riders on a thrilling adventure where they will experience the jaw-dropping maneuvers that they've seen Donkey Kong and the minecarts perform in the video games, including getting blasted out of a barrel, seemingly jumping over gaps as they speed along a rickety track, and so much more. The Minecart Madness level of Donkey Kong Country on Super Nintendo is maybe where all of my childhood anxiety came from.
Oh, that's great.
It was such a crazy experience for me. Like, because things are just flying at you. So experiencing it in real life might be a lot, but I'm very much looking forward to it. They don't have a lot of other information on what you can find there. I'm sure there's got to be some kind of food there, and I'm hoping for a character meet and greet with like Donkey and Diddy.
You gotta, they have right? to.
So the power-up bands. Guests can level up their fun in Super Nintendo World by purchasing a power-up band. It's wearable for their wrist that allows them to enhance their play throughout Super Mario Land and Donkey Kong Country. With the power-up band, guests can collect digital coins by punching blocks and playing interactive activities, collect digital stamps on attractions, earn digital keys to unlock an exclusive showdown against Bowser Jr., and discover other hidden surprises. Guests can also access leaderboard screens in Super Nintendo World to see where they rank among fellow guests. So, there you go. Super Nintendo World. I could not be more excited. This is the first thing that's like really like excited me in like probably since COVID, like of a new thing. I'm so psyched for it. Like, I didn't really care about Tron. I don't really care about Bayou Adventure. Like, I am excited for this in a way I haven't been excited since Guardians of the Galaxy opened.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Guardians of the Galaxy is still great every time I ride it. I love it so much.
I get that. I wish I loved it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for the news this week. We are going to be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned, folks. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this.
This is Bill Farmer, and you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse.
Folks, the start of your Disney vacation is an exciting time. The day that you arrive, you are filled with so much anticipation. You have an entire trip laid out in front of you. This is the start of a wonderful journey. But how do you start that journey? Some people like to go to the parks during that time if they get in early enough, but others don't. They like to take a little break outside the parks and experience their first day a little differently. So that's why this week for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are talking about how to maximize the first day of your Walt Disney World vacation if you're not going to the parks. So, you always go to the parks on your first day.
I do, but I'm fascinated about this. I would love to kind of not do it one day where I have to go straight to the park, but I'm usually so excited.
Right.
Like, I have like a hard time checking in. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, okay, let's go.
Well, you don't really have to check in person anymore. Now you can just do it on your phone.
I know. So, nice.
Yeah. Now, a lot of times people will... So we're going to go with the idea that maybe you've arrived at like noon to the resort here. So your room is probably not ready for at least another 3 hours. But you also have kind of lost half the day for the parks. So you need to fill some time here. So I wanted to go through a few options of what you can do. Now, first of all, in 2025, Disney is doing a new thing where it's giving you a free water park pass. But if you're arriving at 12, I don't think that going to the water parks even for free is going to do much for you.
Why is that?
So to get to the water park, if you're taking Disney transportation, you have to take the bus to Disney Springs and then transfer to a Typhoon Lagoon or Blizzard Beach bus there. So,
is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. So
wow,
you,
what a pain in the butt.
Yep. So you are... So you're taking what's probably at least a 30, 40 minute experience, and you're like almost doubling it. So by the time you get there, probably gonna be like 2 o'clock. These water parks close at like 4:30. So I don't recommend.
Really?
Yeah, I don't recommend. If you want to swim for no cost on your first day, even if your room's not ready, have bathing suits packed in your carry on. Change in like, you know, the bathroom or something like that, and or even wear your bathing suit under your clothes when you're coming in, and just go to the pool right away. Go to your resort pool. You're paying a lot of money for this resort, even if it's a value resort. It's more money than you'd spend at like a Best Western or a Holiday Inn or something like that. So, and some of those value resort pools are amazing. Like All-Star Movies, one of my favorite pools. All-Star Music, fantastic pool. All-Star Sports, great pools. The goofy the baseball diamond pool at All-Star Sports. I love it. It's a baseball diamond. It's a baseball field. You got Goofy on a pitcher's mound in the middle of the pool.
I mean, it sounds pretty great.
It's awesome. The All-Star Movies has the Fantasia pool. It also has a pool that is a hockey rink based on the Mighty Ducks.
Love that.
I love that so much. And then you've got over at All-Star Music, they've got a Three Caballeros pool. So don't sleep on your resort, folks. Take the time on your first day. Walk around. Find out where things are. Get your refillable mug. Start refilling it. You know, have a nice relaxed lunch at the resort, go to the pool, catch some sun, soak it all in, because, you know, this is your opportunity to really enjoy your resort. You're paying a lot of money for it, and I feel like people don't, like, they're so busy in the parks, rightfully so, that they don't really experience where they're staying as much.
Now, what do you think about Springs?
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to do next. Once your room is ready and you can go in and get settled and change, head over to Disney Springs on your first day. So there's a lot you can do at Disney Springs on your first day on your Disney vacation. One of the main things, that it's not the most fun thing in the world to have to do, but a lot of times you do have to visit guest relations for something to start off your trip. Don't wait until you're at the gates of the Magic Kingdom and then have to stand in that long line
right
into City Hall. Go to Disney Springs your first day and take care of whatever you have to take care of there. They have a huge, massive guest relations booth there. And what's more, you can check in and they will text you when it's your time to come back. You're not standing in line. At the parks, you're standing in line. Now, do you often have to go to guest relations for something?
Not too often.
Do you have an opinion on what the worst guest relations is?
I don't go often enough to even have
Okay, so there's only one right answer to this. Hollywood Studios has the worst guest relations. Like,
okay.
And I'm not talking about like the quality of the cast members. Like, they're fine.
Yeah.
It's the location. Like, it's right inside.
Where is it?
It's right inside the Touch Styles, right next to like that camera center, and between that and like the little merchandise location. But you don't wait inside at all. It is all outside, and it takes forever because there's only like three or four people ever in there, like cast member wise, and it takes forever. And a lot of the other ones, there'll be a cast member who walks down the line with an iPad, and they'll stop at each family and they'll be like, what brings you here today? So that if it's a thing that they can take care of on the iPad, they'll just take care of it and save you the wait. They don't do that in Hollywood Studios.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is not fun. There's also a window out like before, because there's always a guest relations in the parks. In the park, and there's one outside of the park, like, so in case like your ticket doesn't work or something like that. The Hollywood Studios, the one, it's like a little window kind of on that route to the parking lot over by where the parking tram lets you off, which is fine. There's not a lot of people out usually, so, you know, on a good day that could be a good option. And now in Epcot, you have the guest relations area off to, like, if you're facing the park, it's all the way off to the right before you go through the touch points. It's next to that gift shop. It's really little. It's kind of in the corner. It's not fun to wait at. There's always a line there.
Right.
And I hate it. But that's one of the ones where they walk through with the iPad. It's also a place.
I get it, though, because that one's packed.
It always is. Always is. Same thing with Magic Kingdom. There's one right there by the touch points off to the right hand side. And again, that one's always packed. And Animal Kingdom, there's one, like, it's right before the touch points on the left-hand side of the park. And then inside the park, it's like it's basically right there. It's kind of like the same little area. In Epcot, though, when you go inside, you would go around the left side of Spaceship Earth, and guest relations will be there after the restrooms. In a newly refurbished guest relations building, it's nice. You can usually wait inside if there's not a big wait, and they tend to move pretty quickly in there. In Magic Kingdom, it's City Hall, which, you know, it's a nice big building, but you will be waiting you'll be waiting in that little area that used to be a character meet and greet location, because they like wind people. And that one's always the most packed. And I think that's because most people go to Magic Kingdom first on their vacation, and they end up having to go to guest relations. But if you just go to Disney Springs, it is a nice, calm, relaxing experience. And there's a lot of guest relations people. There's couches to sit on while you wait. It can't be beat. It's wonderful for usually a situation that is less than ideal to have to do.
Yeah, no one's ever going there for something great.
No, Disney Springs. Yeah, nobody's going there to be like, this is a great experience, and I just want to tell you, you're going there because something is wrong. And Disney Springs is the most relaxed way to do it. It really is. Now, Disney Springs also gives you the opportunity to get some great food. So many restaurants to go to on your first day. You can go. I mean, one of the first things you should do, I think, is go to World of Disney, because it gives you that Disney experience on your first day. It's full of IP and you can just, you know, and any major shopping, like any major merch that you wanted to pick up that's not like specific to a park, get it that first day. Get it that first day in Disney Springs so that you're not lugging a bag around the park. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Springs is important on that first day because I don't know if everyone realizes how tired you are going to be on the other days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might not make it to Disney Springs those other days because you're so tired.
Right, it's hard to do a full park. There's times where I've gotten to Springs and I'm like, Springs is too big. Like, I am not walking through this whole thing. Like, yeah. We're going to do what we're here to do. If we're there for a reservation or something, then we're pretty much going to get out of here.
Yeah. And it is big. That's the thing. It all depends on where you park, too. So you have different options. Well, if you take the bus in, you know, you're always entering through that one area over by, kind of over by where guest relations is. You're kind of entering in the center of the center of the park. Or not park, the shopping area. But if you're parking, you're either doing surface parking, which puts you in over by Cirque du Soleil. The orange garage will put you in by the movie theater on either side, either by the dine-in theater or by the regular movie theater. The lime garage puts you right down by the Polite Pig, kind of right in the center of everything. And the grapefruit garage brings you in over by World of Disney. For the grapefruit garage, you have to actually like park in the garage and then cross a bridge that goes over the highway down into Disney Springs. That's also where I believe most of the cast members park. So
okay.
Usually you're walking in with a bunch of cast members. We've done it a couple times. And then, you know, or if you are staying at a resort that has boat service or walking service, like Saratoga Springs, you can walk. Old Key West has a boat. The Port Orleans has a boat. So, you know, you're typically good with that. And it's a nice boat ride, too. It takes you down, like, some areas that you never really, like, have seen before. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of theming or anything, but, you know, it's still something. And it brings you in over by, kind of by the Christmas shop.
Over there. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing that people like to do on their Disney vacations, I know a lot of families who every year that they go will get a Christmas ornament to bring home to commemorate their trip. Get it at Disney Springs.
Oh, definitely.
Get it at Disney Springs. They are breakable, obviously. They wrap them up really nicely, but they are obviously breakable. Don't carry them around the parks all day. Don't be stuffing them under your seat on Star Tours. You know, get them that first day and bring it back to your room and have it there. And then, you know, there's also ride opportunities. If you have little kids who are, like, really, like, jonesing for something to, like, to ride or something like that, there's a carousel there. You know, there's plenty to do.
I've never done that carousel.
I mean, it's a little tiny carousel. I think it's mostly for, like,
I mean, even when the kids were little, like, yeah. They never did it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to pay to do it and whatever, but it is there. It's right by the Christmas store. The Christmas store, by the way, just such a... If you want to do any kind of shopping for Christmassy stuff, yes, it's cool to buy stuff in the parks, but pretty much most of the stuff you can get in the parks is in the Christmas store in Disney Springs.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's a much more relaxed shopping experience because the thing about the Christmas shops in the parks is they are all so small and cramped. And Hollywood Studios, I don't even think they just kind of turned that into a Santa meet and greet for the holidays. Yeah. And I don't even think they have one anymore. Like, I don't think they reopened it.
Nope. That snowman's still out there.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He'll always be there. But, like, you know, ye old Christmas shop is very cramped. The Christmas store in Epcot and the Germany Pavilion, very cramped. The Christmas store in Disney Springs, you can swing your arms about as you walk and be fine. And, you know, multiple rooms. There's even a cool, like, Christmas card photo op outside. You can get a Disney balloon in Disney Springs also. What were you going to say?
It is, like, one of the staples of Springs. You have to go there.
Oh, wait, dude, as a local, every time I go to Springs, I have to go to the Christmas store.
Which is why it's hard that it's so far on one side.
It really is very far away.
Like, wow, I got to walk all the way over there.
Yep. Yep. But usually if you're going to World of Disney, it's not that far from Disney.
That's true. And I always want to duck my head in that Star Wars store that's right there. I can't remember which one it is.
It's one of like three Star Wars stores in Disney Springs. Yeah. But like, so like, when you go into Disney Springs that first day, you know, let's say you're taking the bus. when you're coming in, you could either make a right to go toward, you know, World of Disney and Flight Pig and the Christmas Shop and all that stuff, the stage where they do a lot of like the shows, or you can make a left to go toward Chicken Guy and Planet Hollywood and the food trucks and the Marvel store and the movie theater.
Right.
Yeah, like, I never recommend people go see a movie on their vacation. I like the Disney Springs movie theater because I live here, but I never went there until I lived here. I don't know. I feel like that's just wasting time almost. But they've also got like the D style store, which is a really cool store. Yep. Once Upon a Toy is there, like it's with two Star Wars stores. They have a left-handed store, which I've always loved.
Interesting.
As a left-handed person, I love the left-handed store there. They've got like the co-op is there, which, you know, don't get the phone case because it'll be ruined within 2 weeks. Right. Like mine was. So salty about that. Like I've saved it. Like I have it there just to like remind me never again. Like it's
yep.
But yeah, Springs, definitely a great time. Another option for your first day, miniature golf.
Yeah, would love to try this.
Fantasia Gardens or Winter Summerland, both of them are open, and you know, there it's a great way to kind of inject a little Disney magic into your first day if you're not going to the parks. A resort tour. Go around some of the other resorts.
It is funny, right? So many of us end up kind of doing that anyway, you know, without making it official. We end up like, especially at the holidays, you always want to go check out the other resorts.
Well, like, so it all depends on where you're staying too. So like if you're staying at, you know, Coronado, for instance, it might be a little more difficult to go to some of the other resorts. If you're staying at Caribbean Beach, however, you could very easily take the Skyliner over to, Port Royal. Is it Port Royal? Is that the new one over there? The new one. What's the name of it?
I know. Why are we blanking on?
Why are we blanking on this? People are screaming at us right now.
That place.
Yeah. Well, if you're staying on one of the Magic Kingdom resorts, very easy to go to the other resorts there as well.
Riviera
Resort. That's it. Yes. Yeah, so you can go around the resort loop there. If you're staying at the Epcot resorts, you can go from Beach Club to, you know, the Swan and Dolphin to the Boardwalk very, very easily. The Boardwalk is a great place to go for your first night because there's plenty to eat, plenty to see, plenty to do. There's Jelly Rolls there, the Dueling Piano Bar. Let's say you go to Disney Springs and then take the boat from Disney Springs all the way over to Port Orleans Riverside and go see Yeehaw Bob if you've kind of like, you know, if it's a Saturday. I think that's when he plays. Always a great time. Yeehaw Bob. Love that guy. What else? If you do get there early enough and you do decide to go to the water park, it depends on which time of year it is. You might be going to Blizzard Beach, you might be going to Typhoon Lagoon. There are a couple things that you can do to kind of maximize your day. One, find a good seat. I don't recommend the wave pool area because it's so crowded and it's never like quiet. There's this area in the back of Typhoon Lagoon it's like a dilapidated submarine. That's where we go because it's like kind of far away from everything, but there's a lazy river entrance kind of right there. There's a couple snack locations right there. It's nice and easy. Now, one of the things you really should do, especially at Typhoon Lagoon, they have this ice cream sundae that the whole family can share. It comes in a souvenir bucket, like a shovel and pail kind of thing.
Okay.
Comes in a souvenir pail and it's like ice cream and like there's cake in there and there's Oreo cookies and there's whipped cream and maraschino cherries and sprinkles. It's so good. Rachel and I share it. And like, even then we have a hard time finishing it. It's great. I think it's only like, can't remember if it was $12 or if it was like $17, but it's like, you know, it's less than 20. I know that. It's great. It's a fantastic ice cream sundae. The Lazy River is a great way to kind of experience a little bit of relaxation on your first day. I love the Lazy River there. Gosh, man. Like, there's so much to do outside the parks, and sometimes I think people don't realize it.
Yeah, I think most people don't have the time, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, that's my problem. Like you're talking about all these things, and I'm like, I would like to do that.
Like the miniature golf, I've still never done it, and I can do it for free with my annual pass because I have the water park fun and more options, so we can go do the miniature golf whenever we want. It's just we never really have had the time to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So anything else you can think of that you would want to do before your trip start, like the day that your trip starts, other than go to a park?
Yeah, I think Springs is my big one that I normally try and do.
Yeah, I mean, it is a big one. And, you know, also, you can see fireworks your first night, even if you don't go to a park. Go to the Polynesian, go to Grand Floridian, and just kind of hang out, you know, maybe grab a bite to eat at Captain Cook's, sit up by, you know, outside the gate of the pool area, or go down to the beach and just watch the fireworks in the sky. They play the music and everything. So, yeah, it's a great way to do that. Epcot fireworks, I mean, you could pretty much see them from like Beach Club and the boardwalk, but you know, it does lose. I don't know. Did they play the music over there?
No.
They don't. Yeah, I don't think so. I didn't think so. I didn't think so either. One great place to watch fireworks. I think the best place outside the Magic Kingdom to watch the Magic Kingdom fireworks. They don't play the music, but if you go to the Transportation and Ticket Center, you go by where the ferry boat is. Don't actually go to the ferry boat. Go off to the side before you get to like the ferry boat queue. And there's like a little like area by like right by where the grass ends. And it's almost like a bench right there, like a big long bench. And just sit there, you have a full view of Cinderella Castle, not obstructed by trees, not obstructed by like the island in the middle of the Seven Seas Lagoon. And you just watch, like, you could vaguely hear the music coming from the Polynesian, or you just, you know, sync it up and play it, whatever. I think some of like the Sorcerer Radio and stuff like that, they'll play like the music. They used to, I don't know if they still do. They would like play the fireworks music like at the same time as the fireworks every night. Live.
I mean, that sounds like a great spot.
It's a fantastic spot. I watched fireworks at my parents one time, and it's great. Not a lot of people really realize that it's there. The only people that you usually are like there with are people that have just gotten off the ferry boat and like want to just stop and watch the fireworks for a bit. It's a great, great spot. Like you have such a good view. Such a good view. It's great. Gosh, I'm trying to think of anything else. We've done Disney Springs, the water parks, the pools, the other resorts. I mean, you know, other than going to International Drive and seeing some of the things to see over there, which, you know, I don't necessarily recommend because it could be a little tourist trappy and trashy.
Right.
You know, you can go, but like you can go to, you know, or like, you know, if it's your first day on a Universal vacation and you're staying at a Universal resort, City Walk has so many great things for you to do. From, you know, from clubs to food. And City Walk now has an escape room area. There's a Back to the Future.
I've never done it.
Yeah, I haven't done it yet either. But it's, I think they have a Back to the Future and they have Jurassic Park. I highly recommend Tooth from Chocolate Emporium. They have one of my favorite things there in that little chocolate. Even if you don't go to like eat at the restaurant, they have one of my favorite things in like the chocolate shop. And it's,
what is it?
It's a thing that I never thought of, but now that like I know it exists, I love it so much. Chocolate covered gummy bears.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I always think a lot of people probably don't know they even have that little chocolate bar in the front.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, absolutely. It's a great place. My buddy Big Dan came down and we went to eat there, and that's when I discovered like the whole chocolate bar there, and you know, it was fantastic.
Like, you don't have to go in and sit at a table. They have a little area where you can get all sorts of like, you know, chocolate delights.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there's always like they play music at City Walk. It's basically just like Disney Springs. It's like a worse version of Disney Springs. I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
Never eat at Cowfish. That was disgusting.
Yeah,
I hated that place so much. The sports bar there is great though. The not ESPN, the NBC Sports Bar.
Right.
That place is good. They have a really good hot dog place there too. The World Series of Hot Dogs.
I like a good hot dog.
Yeah, no, it's a good. I mean, it's not Casey's Corner, but I would say it's on par with BB Wolf's, which I think is a place in Springs that like nobody really like talks about. A couple of things to keep in mind if you're going to be eating at Springs your first day. If you want fish and chips in Epcot, why not just go to Cooks of Dublin in Disney Springs? It's better. We went on my birthday weekend when we were staying there. We went to Disney Springs. We got Cooks of Dublin fish and chips, and we got poutine from World of Poutine right there behind the Lego store. And that was our lunch, and it was great. We just shared one. like one of each. And it was fantastic. BB Wolf's has got great hot dogs. You can go to Blaze Pizza, though there are Blaze Pizzas everywhere now. I mean, you know, Blaze Pizza was always my go-to for the longest time, but now,
yeah,
now is Blaze Pizza like kind of by my house, so like I very rarely will go to the Disney Springs one anymore. Chicken Guy,
I can walk to a Blaze Pizza now.
Oh, is there really one that close?
There's one right in Clark.
Oh yeah, I did. I've gone to that one in Clark. Yeah, you can go. So you can go to Blaze Pizza. You can go to the food trucks. You know, when they're the food trucks are like third party food trucks now. I'm not thrilled with it. But when we were in Coronado and we were driving back to our room, we saw the old food trucks parked at the Coronado Resort, like the mac and cheese one and like the hot diggity dog one.
Because but now, not open.
No, they were just like parked there, like to store them there. They've got like a bunch of third party ones now. There's like one that's like, oh, cilantro, and I'm like, ugh, like a soap dispenser on wheels. I was really disappointed by that. But there's Morimoto Asia Street Food. Most of the big like celebrity chef restaurants will have a quick service option as well. I believe Wolfgang Puck has a quick service option. It's just so like even trying to think about like all the quick service places in Disney Springs like has put my brain into like overload. So
yeah, it's a lot.
All right. Well, anything else you wanted to talk about with this?
No, I think you covered a lot of topics here.
Yeah. All right. Well, then that's going to do it for Two Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us this week. And thank you to our patrons over at patreon.com/Two Men in the Mouse. If you love our good buddy Peter Mandel, check him out over at Rogue Comics at Cranford, New Jersey at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or go to roguecomics.com where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, Universal, or any location that you want to vacation anywhere in the world, our friends over at Away With Me Travel have got you covered. Reach out to Justin and his team, justin@awaitmetravel.com or show@awaitmetravel.com, and let them help you plan the vacation of your dreams. All right, well, that does it for this week. Pete, any closing words?
Let's do it next week, Kevin.
All right. Please, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.
So there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.
This has been YDF Media Productions.